Welcome to Technory Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, well, you've probably heard this bit before. What is Technory? Since 2010, Technory has been Chicago's top startup showcase. More than 300 companies have been featured, been on stage, been on the show, and they've gone on to raise a whopping $260+ million in venture funding. Sitting down with us today is Mark Eckler, Director of Math Venture Partners. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah, so I'm super excited to get into this. There's one, you are working on a keynote and things on your own, which we can talk about on a personal level.
Sure.
But math as a whole, one of the things I thought was really interesting about it is if you read the sort of who are we, what is the mission in almost every incubator, every accelerator around, every venture fund, whatever it is, they always have some sort of ubiquitous, like, nah, we're about growth and building the city, whatever. It's very rarely, or we're people first, you know, whatever the trick is. They rarely pick a business thing, like something identifiable as like their trait that they look for. You guys pick, we want people who customer acquisition is in your DNA.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to me, and I wonder, I mean, I'm not going to get into your success metrics and all these other things of what you do compared to others, but I just think it's fascinating to me that in a city, you know, the city that works, as we're called, the city of Chicago, where almost all the businesses and all the good investments come from, you know, B2B or people with business backgrounds, that most of our VCs and stuff still talk in a Silicon Valley sort of fancy boy way, and you guys went right to it, and I love it.
Yeah, so it's really straightforward. And look, being an entrepreneur is hard. There's no question about it, and most fail.
Yep.
And our joke is, nobody ever went out of business because they had too many customers. So human nature is we gravitate to what we're comfortable with and what we're good at. And most entrepreneurs are good with technology. They're good with finance. Very few people are comfortable with sales. And at the end of the day, it's all about customer acquisition. So whether it's B2B or it's B2C or it's through third-party channels, however you define your customer acquisition strategy, what we're looking for is founding teams who in their core DNA really deeply, truly understand their customer, how the customer thinks, what language they use to describe their business, what are the key metrics or KPIs, key performance indicators, right? I ask entrepreneurs, what are the KPIs? And they look at me with blank looks for their customers, right? At the end of the day, that's what we're looking for, that deeper level of insight and how to reach, how to talk to and reach their customer.
Ultimately, do you feel like you have to do a little bit of training with this, or is this companies that if you have to train them, you're sort of like, you're not quite fit for us? Like they have to really, you know, like if you see a great idea, it's a potential great, you know, great potential fit for you guys, but they're not quite there. Do you work with them to sort of ingrain this or teach it? Or is it something that's like, listen, if you're not coming on board with that already, kind of that mindset, then maybe we're just not a good fit.
So our philosophy is it's not about us. It's about the entrepreneur.
Yep.
And my partners and myself, we're teachers. We're mentors. We're always trying to help. And we think coachability or receptivity of entrepreneurs to being coached is a really important trait for us. And we split it out between our larger sort of Series A, Series B investments, where we invest $500,000 to $1 million plus in sort of later stage investments versus our seed investments.
Yep.
So for a larger investment in a later stage, yeah, they have to have the sales.
Oh, well, yeah, I would suspect so, yeah.
Right. But for a seed investment, if we have a great entrepreneurial team who are really passionate with a great tech in a marketplace that is large enough, and they need some coaching, sometimes we're willing to coach.
Yeah.
Right. For a smaller seed investment.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, I mean, obviously, if I'm putting millions of dollars into you, I suspect that my expectation is a little higher.
Exactly. Yeah, of course.
You know, I guess I sit down with, you know, I've sat down and interviewed now. I mean, it's got to be 200 plus entrepreneurs of the early stage level.
Yeah.
And not a whole lot of them. I guess there's two big observations I've made. Not a whole lot of them are, what's the right way to put this without sounding mean, sales savvy. They're not really, they have no experience in it. They whatever job they had, they were thrown in this little corner, and that was their task. And they none of them have no.
If we build it, they will come.
Yeah,
right. And so there's two levels.
And that's
of
incorrect
insight.
For the most part.
Well, of course it is, right? There's two levels of insight. That first level of insight, with which most entrepreneurs have, is they see a problem and they solve it. That second level of insight, which is so rare, is knowing how to sell it.
Yep.
Right. And that's the difference. And that's why most entrepreneurs fail.
And you know what's funny? This is such a – people think of this in the tech thing. Like, oh, I build an app, I got to get downloads. Oh, I built this and I got to get people to, you know, buy the product. Even in the business that we're in media and picking out companies to put on stage and showcase and build community, we build a community and we still have to sell it.
Course.
This has been around since 2010, and I have to every single day push out email after email after email after email and interview and talk to people and go all day long running around to get people to go to a product that's been there for 6 years.
Yeah. Well, I'll actually make it a level of abstraction higher,
yep.
Which is we live in a world where there's a deficit of trust.
For sure.
Right? And so brand equals trust. And another thing that most entrepreneurs don't understand and what's so hard is to build that trust with your customers. And so talking about, you know, that fight for attention, that fight for building brand, in a world where trust is at a premium, right, what does your brand stand for? You know, what can they expect? What can your viewers expect when they hear tech, when they hear content from you?
Yep.
Right? Brand and trust is everything.
Yep. It's totally true. And the funny thing is it's two-sided because in a lot of these cases, you're talking about content on one side of it where you've got literally like I'm creating, whether it's content or product or service or whatever, I have a customer base, which is my user base. And then on the backside of that, I still have relationships with sponsors and people that I have to sell the product to. So
yeah,
I'm essentially selling my product to two people. I'm selling them to you and, well, more than that.
Well, your end
and my employers too.
Your end user is different than your customer.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
You're creating a product for your end user.
Correct.
But your customer.
My customer is a different person. So I have to create a value proposition out of that end user's experience that I can then sell to my actual customer.
Right. And what do they care about and why do they care about it?
Exactly. And and you're always figuring that out. And here's the thing that sucks for all the entrepreneurs out there that right. think you can just like, oh, I made it. And now we can put it in CRM mode. Nope. It's changing constantly. And every single day I find some other person who sends me an email message to invite me to an event from someone who just knocked me off.
Yeah.
Now I've got to create a way to like make it better and call my sponsors and be like, hey, you know, here's another place.
But here's a good thing for what you're doing right now. So I think it's the difference between search and discovery and curation. So also we're in a world right now where there's so much information that's coming at us.
Yep.
Right? We need curators.
For
sure.
We
need people that we trust to sift through all this information and make sense of it all.
Well, on a much bigger level, I mean, that's ultimately not to go off on a – under the media tangent,
right.
But that's ultimately what we're missing in the media thing. I mean, we've disrupted almost unintentionally the entire media market and everything is, they're top heavy. They can't afford to pay for everything that they're doing and all the old models, newspaper and things don't work. So then what we did was we essentially removed that trusted curator.
Right.
We no longer have the storyteller.
Yeah, but look what New York Times is doing right now.
Well, yeah, New York Times.
Trust.
New York
right?
Times and Wall Street Journal, of course, has a couple other issues they got to figure out. But New York Times and the Journal, really, as Warren Buffett just recently said, they're the only two that have, like, at least for the foreseeable future, have a complete, like, safe zone. They got to keep going, obviously, but they're in good standing. The other ones, if you can't figure out how to create that trust and that brand trust and that ability to curate properly, meaning you know who your end users are and you know who your customers are. If you can't do all that, you know, you're out of business.
That
same exact thing goes to every single person who runs a company, whether it's product or service. If you can't understand those metrics slash those just, you know.
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. So when I used to head up innovation and marketing at Redbox.
Yep.
And we had a language that we used to describe our business, which was frequency, basket size, nights out. Frequency is, can I get an existing customer to come one more time?
Yep.
Basket size was, could I get them to rent two movies or a movie or a game? And nights out was, our business model was $1 a night. And if you kept it two nights, we made more money than if you kept it one night, right? That was the language we used to describe our business. Those were the key metrics. if you didn't understand that and you were coming to pitch me, if you were an entrepreneur trying to sell me something and you didn't talk about frequency, basket size, and nights out, you didn't get my business.
Yeah.
Right? Because you didn't understand what was important to me. Right? Many entrepreneurs, I keep on trying to say, I always say, it's not about you, it's about your customer.
You know, it's funny. So then here's the other side of the coin, because I totally agree with all of this, and yet I'm like a walking, you know, double standard in almost everything I do. And this is funny, and not relating myself to some of these successful people like Tom Sosnoff and others at all in any way. But I have always likened my approach to this like bullishness that some of them have. And I feel like there's two types of, well, there's a million types of people, you know, you can,
right.
I hate the whole like, well, you're either this or you're that, because it's just not true. But there are two predominant types of successful entrepreneurs. There's the sponge and the brick. At least that's how I've always viewed it. There's the person who sponges every single piece of information off of everyone around them. And they, you know, they're the ultimate team player. They fit into the group perfectly. And they just, it works. It just works. And they usually are the kind of people who build, like Mark Lawrence is a perfect example of this from Spot
sure,
Hero.
Of course, Spot Hero.
A person who he can, that's a person who will scale a company again and again and again. He might have five of them. Al Goldstein's another one. Yvonne, he'll scale a company again and again and again. Then there's bricks. And I've always been kind of a brick. And I'm not sure that you scale. I'm not a scalable person. But by sheer force of will, you just keep going until you break through the barrier. Steve Jobs, not comparing myself, but Steve Jobs is a person like that. Just keeps going until you go. And it's, I've always wondered, and you're a perfect person to ask this.
Yeah.
When you see, and I'm sure you see it, when you see the entrepreneurs that are the sponge versus the person who's just a brick, is there a tendency to want to support or go away from one or the other?
No, I think every situation is unique, so it depends upon the circumstances. I would actually, I like that analogy, and I would extend it to the question is, how good is that sponge or brick in putting a team around them?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, no matter how talented, how driven,
for sure,
how much grit that CEO has, we live or die by the teams, right, that we surround ourselves with.
Yeah.
And some of those people, like Mark I know well and Al I know well, who have put great teams together around them. So it's not just the CEO.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, again, you look at like the sponge side, I think it's more of without the team. And without the team, I don't think that they have, like, they're just not as good. You know, they're not good solo practitioners. Al is a different, totally different
well,
circumstance.
That's an outlier.
Yeah, that's an outlier. But the, you know, the brick I always look like, if you pick the team, they've got to be, they're different teams, I guess, is my point. Right. If I'm a sponge type entrepreneur, and I think that for those listening, you've got to know who you are. You've got to know your strengths and play in them. I know right. That I'm a brick, and so I try to, like, work around as best I can. My team has to be incredibly talented, also very patient and very forgiving, but also be able to clean up pieces that I leave in my wake, versus a sponge who seems to need a team that is supportive and insulational. And
yeah, you know, both can work. I don't think there's a right or a wrong.
Oh, no, for sure. Right. Yeah, both that's what's so cool about it.
You know, I personally tend to be more of a sponge than I am a brick.
I get it.
And I work. I used to work at Apple in the early days, and I worked for Steve Jobs, and I had a lot of interaction with him back in the early 80s.
That's awesome.
And I got to tell you, being on the other end, the receiving end of that, wasn't always so much
fun.
No,
I'm sure. I bet.
Right? But well, you can't argue with the results. You just, you know.
And that's the thing. Like, I think that, you know, and again, really comes, like, ultimately, success-wise, it comes down to the entrepreneur knowing who they are and playing within their strengths.
Right.
But I the one part that I always kind of cringe about when I hear, I have people come on here and they talk about their way. This is our way. And they do it, and it's like, ah, it drives me nuts. And that's why when I talked to you on the phone and I saw what you guys are doing, I thought, what a perfect person to have on here, because you guys have multiple approaches, but you have your way. You have what you're looking for,
we
play
have a
well.
Very tight investment thesis.
Yep.
Like, we understand what we believe will add a lot of value.
But you also know how to pick out the people who can still use your way and still you still learn from what you're doing and still practice properly within your thesis, but may not be like you.
Yeah, of course.
Which is, I think, is the big success. I mean, I think that's what makes you successful, because I look at a lot of the incubators, and there's a lot of them, and they're not all going to be around for all that long.
No.
And you see, they're like, well, we did it once this way, so now we duplicated that exact model times 1,000. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's just, it's too hard, and I'm a victim of it too. I thought I could scale multiple companies that I've worked on. I thought I could scale by just repeating what I was able to do until you find that it was a one-off. You just didn't know it.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to have a sort of a model that you understand and gravitate to and work within it. Work within the framework that you're comfortable with.
This is awesome. On a personal level, though, what is your sort of like what drew you to this world of crazy? And then you have this success at Apple and Redbox and these things, and you still want to do more of this.
I am so grateful. I think I have the greatest job in the world. My job is to make entrepreneurs' dreams come true.
That's a pretty cool job.
Right? Oh, my God. And the intellectual curiosity. Every day I sit in front of three or four or five different entrepreneurial teams, and they're telling me their story, and they're telling me about their industry and the problem they see and how they solved it, and trying to get my arms around, intellectually trying to understand all those different industries and all those different problems, and working with passionate entrepreneurs. It is the coolest job in the world, and I'm just really, really grateful. And in terms of giving back, so many people helped me along my career. You know, I've built four companies from scratch. A couple did okay, a couple failed, you know, and it takes a village, right?
Yeah.
It takes a community, and I'm just really ever so grateful to be part of it here in Chicago and to see how Chicago is just booming right now.
It really is, and I mean, obviously, we are very proud of it as well. We've been doing this since 2010, trying to help companies gain momentum and get awareness. And as you probably are well aware of, with Chicago's growth like this, I feel like we're at that really interesting time where it's just like a disruptor, right? Just like a startup, you got to continue to disrupt yourself. I think we're at a very close time where we've got to take a step back and not pat ourselves on the back too hard.
Go,
okay, so what's the next thing? And from our standpoint, I'm working with both sides of the coast with regard to Republic and AngelList on a funding side, to partnerships from major corporations in Chicago that are national or multinational to find another way to continue to bring money and funding and support and all these things, attention to Chicago. Because I think we got ourselves to a place where now we're playing ball with the coast, but now we got to do something different, I think.
Yeah, but one of the things I really love about Chicago is our sort of the Midwestern work ethic, but also the Midwestern humility.
For sure.
You know, I don't think we're going to get too full of ourselves.
I don't think so.
You know, we're just going to put our heads down and go build real businesses.
I think so. I agree with that. I think my only worry, I think, is, again, I mentioned the innovation theater type stuff. And Terry Howerton from TechNexus is the one that has coined that phrase for me that I have stolen from him, and it's mine now. I told him, I'm the one in the media business. I'm the one who gets to talk about innovation theater.
Right.
But no, my worry is that sometimes you make too much noise and you're famous for being famous and not famous for something.
Yeah, look, results, at the end of the day, it's all about the results.
Well, right? results so far.
Results are there or they're not.
Results so far, we have the most $1 million plus exits in the country. So the results are in, that we're doing much better.
Awesome.
So, I mean, I think that we're definitely, I just want to see us continue to build. I don't want us to get lethargic and think we've gotten somewhere.
Yeah, no, we're not.
You know what I mean?
One of the things I really appreciate, you talked about Mark and you talked about Al. And,
yep.
I'm starting to see serial entrepreneurs, guys who've rung the bell a couple times, who are coming back, who are building great teams around them. You know, this is just the beginning.
Well, it's like Kewald and Lefkowski.
We just had
Vic on, who's going to be replacing them as the managing partner for
Lightbank. Yeah.
So that's an example of Chicago entrepreneurs who do amazing stuff, build multiple companies, and they keep building them in Chicago, which is awesome.
Well, and JB and all that he's done to bring, you know, to help build and grow and cultivate the community. This is the leaders of the technology community here in Chicago really care, and we're giving back and we're helping to grow. And
very cool. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time. Where do people go to find more about you as well as Math?
Well, so Math Venture Partners. So it's www.mathventurepartners.com.
Very cool. Mark, thank you so much.
All right, Scott. Awesome. Thanks. Appreciate it.